Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in central and western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. A partial fuel tax cap in Suffolk County is ending, but drivers are still seeing the benefit of declining gasoline prices and a state tax holiday that will last another month. Grant Parpan reports on Newsday.com that the immediate impact on residents from Suffolk's tax break expiring Tuesday, December 6th, next Tuesday, will be minimal, costing drivers an additional 2.7 cents per gallon at the current average. Robert Sinclair, senior manager of public affairs for AAA in New York and New Jersey, said drivers will not feel the pinch from the end of Suffolk's fuel tax cap as long as gas prices continue to drop. But then prices start going up, and they eventually will, Sinclair said. Under Suffolk's cap, the first $3 per gallon of gas was taxed at the 4.25% county sales tax rate, while the remaining amount was not taxed. An identical cap remains in place in Nassau County through December 31st. The tax caps were instituted this past spring as part of efforts to offset high gas prices. While the cost to fill your tank remains elevated, up 10 cents per gallon from a year ago, gas prices have declined considerably since the tax caps went into effect. On June 1st, the average price of a gallon of regular gas on Long Island was $4.96, up 62.2% from a year earlier. The average gas price on Long Island as of yesterday was $3.64 for a regular and $4.50 for premium, down 2 cents. At the 11th hour, developer Adam Potter pulled out of a deal to sublet what is commonly known as the Gas Ball parking lot to Sag Harbor Village, officials said on Wednesday, adding that they would ask the State Public Service Commission to intervene on their behalf. Stephen J. Coates reports on 27East.com that the Sag Harbor Village Board held a brief executive session this past Wednesday morning at which it agreed to petition the PSC to annul the lease that National Grid signed last year with Potter's 11 Bridge Street LLC as not being in the public interest and causing economic harm to the village of Sag Harbor. The village also claims that Potter initially represented that he was seeking the lease for the nonprofit Friends of Bay Street, which was formed to build a new Bay Street theater before ultimately obtaining it for his profit company. In addition, Sag Harbor Village's petition says that Potter's lease with National Grid specifies that the property can only be used for a parking lot, but that standalone private parking lots are not permitted under the current village code. This deal is not in the public interest, period, exclamation point, said Sag Harbor Mayor Jim LaRocca in a press release released Wednesday morning. A Sonic drive-in will not be opening at the Osborne Avenue Route 58 site in Riverhead, approved last month for a drive-in restaurant by the Riverhead Planning Board. The developer of the site told Riverhead Local earlier this week, Denise Civiletti, reports on RiverheadLocal.com that town approvals took too long. According to Mark Kitchoff of Inheritance Development, which owns the 1.78-acre property, the years to collectively procure all necessary project approvals exceeded their limits, Kitchoff said. When the developer initially filed the site plan application in 2015, it named the popular fast food restaurant Sonic, known for its unique car hop service. A Sonic franchisee told town officials he'd signed a 30-year lease on the site, but it won't be in Riverhead. Prominent elected Republicans, influential donors, and conservative grassroots activists are pushing for Congressman Lee Zeldin of Shirley, Long Island, to become the next Republican National Committee Chairman, including the leader of the Texas GOP, who credited Zeldin's strong campaign for New York governor with securing Republican control of the U.S. House of Representatives. "We underperformed nationally. There were strategic missteps," Republican Party of Texas Chairman Matt Rinaldi told the New York Post yesterday. But, quote, in New York, Lee Zeldin went into communities that Republicans don't traditionally go into and talked about crime and inflation. He overperformed in blue areas. He exceeded expectations, end quote. Carl Campanile reports in the New York Post that Zeldin lost to Democrat incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul by just over 327,000 votes out of more than 5.7 million cast, and his performance at the top of the ticket in the battleground suburbs helped Republicans win four more House seats from New York to push the GOP past the 218-seat benchmark. Zeldin says that some prominent GOP donors, including billionaire Stephen Schwarzman, CEO and chairman of the giant financial investment firm the Blackstone Group, and metal mogul Andrew Sabin, have indicated they will contribute heavily to the RNC if he is elected chairman and were less inclined to do so if he was not. That says, according to Congressman Zeldin. The Social Security numbers of an estimated 26,000 Suffolk County employees and retirees may have been exposed during the September 8th cyber attack on county government, County Executive Steve Ballone said yesterday. Vera Chinesi reports on Newsday.com that the county will directly notify possibly impacted individuals, who include all employees eligible for the county health insurance plan, by mail beginning today, Ballone told Newsday. The exposure was discovered during a forensic audit of the attack that a private company is conducting for Suffolk. Ballone spokeswoman Mary Kate Guilfoyle said Ballone met with the forensic team Wednesday night and made the decision to begin notifications. Guilfoyle did not say when the potential breach of Social Security numbers was discovered. Ballone's announcement came more than a week after he said 470,000 people who received moving violations issued by the county police may have had their driver's license numbers exposed. Ballone acknowledged Thursday that as an employee on the county health plan, his Social Security number could have been exposed too. Beth Young of East End Beacon reminds us that the annual windmill lighting at the Stony Brook Southampton College campus will be held this evening from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., followed by a lecture on Wild Long Island by Chris Paparo in Duke Lecture Hall. All are welcome and admission is free. Tomorrow in Riverhead, the 10th annual Wooden Wonderland at Suffolk County Historical Society from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It features a holiday craft show and sale. Sounds like fun for the whole family, they say. Join the museum for their special holiday event and see the historic building and galleries come to life in a display of holiday arts and crafts. Admission is free to one and all. That's tomorrow at the Suffolk County Historical Museum, 300 West Main Street in Riverhead. Long Island arts groups have been awarded nearly $3 million in new state grants for programs, rehiring staff, and supporting artists reemerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. John Asbury reports on Newsday.com that in the past 2 months, Governor Kathy Hochul has awarded $77 million for 2023 to arts groups statewide through the New York State Council on the Arts. The funding is part of $340 million budgeted for state art programs next year. For hundreds of years, artists from around the world have called New York their home because of our culture, diversity, and creativity, Hochul said in a statement earlier this week. Grant funds for Long Island's art community were awarded to more than 60 organizations, including on the East End, the Sag Harbor Cinema Center, which has had a long road to recovery following a fire that destroyed the original theater 6 years ago in December of 2016. The theater was rebuilt and planned to reopen in 2020 before the pandemic hit. Operators finally reopened the theater in May 2021 and flourished with community support and state funding. Executive Director Genevieve Villaflor said the center was awarded a $40,000 grant for 2023. Villaflor said the Arts Center will use the grant for general operating expenses and hiring staff. The theater has hosted events with Julie Andrews. Our story is a good story. We were supposed to open in 2020, and it was not an easy year, but cultural programming and fundraising kept the organization going in some way in the mind of the audience. I was heartened when we opened and people really embraced it, said Julia Dagnolo. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.